Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 18th day of May, 2023. I'm so thrilled to have back as a returning guest, one of my favorite guests to interview. His name is Virgil Walker. His name should be very familiar to the regular listeners of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, since I have interviewed him many times and hope to interview him many more times in the future. He's an author. He's a conference speaker. He's the executive director of operations at G3 Ministries, and he's the co-host of the Just Thinking podcast. Today we're going to be addressing an extremely controversial issue, Christian nationalism, a review of the broad spectrum of its professed adherents, and we're also going to be announcing the upcoming 2023 G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, my dear friend Virgil Walker. Are you there, Virgil?
I am always glad to be with you, brother. It's a joy to get a chance to once again to talk about all the issues that matter.
Amen. And I was so thrilled to finally meet face to face your sweet, wonderful, godly wife, T. Diane, at the Church and Family Life Conference that took place, I guess it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. We had a great time there with the folks for the Church and Family Conference there, and wonderful opportunity to bring her along. That's not something that happens as often as I would like, but when it does, it's an absolute joy to bring her into spaces and places where I've been and meet people who I've talked about or whose names she's heard me mention. And for you, it was, you know, she'd hear your voice as I would be doing interviews. She would hear your voice in the background on speakers. And so for her to put a face and a voice in your case with a name and a face and all that was just great. Got a chance to go out and grab a bite to eat in a couple of spots and get some great fellowship in. So it was a good time.
Yeah. And what a beautiful area Black Mountain, North Carolina is.
It really was. Really was great. Very picturesque, and weather was perfect, and yeah. So we really had a chance to enjoy some time there. Yeah, it was good.
Well, I'm thrilled also that Scott Brown, who is the host and orchestrator of these annual Church and Family Life conferences, he has invited me back to man an exhibitor's booth at their next conference, which already has a phenomenal lineup for that as well.
Yeah.
And I am really excited about that, and I thank him for that invitation and opportunity. But I'm also coming up in the much closer future. I'm really thrilled again, as I always am, to be attending the 2023 G3 National Conference. And why don't you tell our listeners about this year's National Conference?
Yeah, this year's National Conference is going to be amazing. Every time I even think about it, smile jumps on my face because I know the plans that we have here and what people are going to be experiencing at the conference. The conference is our national biennial conference. So it's a once every other year opportunity to connect with the national conference at G3. And this year it's September 21st through the 23rd. It will cover the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. And so for us, this was an important doctrine as we seem to be encountering attacks related to God's sovereignty in almost every sphere of culture, whether it's the LGBTQIA+ mafia, if you will, the alphabet mafia, if you will, who are challenging whether a man is a man and a woman is a woman, or some facet of the gender spectrum, whether it's the idea of the challenge of marriage, or even in school systems, how children should indeed be educated. Well, God has ordained all of those things, that he's created one man and one woman, that marriage is between a man and a woman in a covenant union for life, that children are the responsibility of parents, not the state, and that we have an obligation as human beings and believers, particularly believers in Christ, to educate our children to glorify God and enjoy him forever. With that said, everywhere we turn, that is under attack. And so it's important for us to gather as believers to revisit the important doctrine of God's sovereignty as we equip ourselves. Local churches are equipped, and the body of Christ overall is equipped to deal with the onslaught that we're encountering from the culture. Like always at this, at the national conference, we have just a host of some of the best speakers around the world. Josh Bice, Bodie Bauckham, Stephen Lawson, Paul Washer, Phil Johnson, James White, Mike Riccardi, Justin Peters, Owen Strahan, Ken Ham. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. We'll have more than 30 speakers.
Wow.
Who will eventually make our roster that will be joining us for our event. And so it's going to be an important time for those who want to come and hear the best of preaching and come away with just the sound doctrine of God's sovereignty to join us. In addition to all of the preaching, we are going to have, you know, a lot of different events. I'm always kind of working with Josh Bice to create unique events and unique fellowship opportunities and the like. And so this is kind of I'd call this the world's largest family reunion as we gather. We anticipate somewhere in the neighborhood of about 8,500 people from within the United States and literally around the world that will be joining us. So right now, I think our numbers are somewhere in the neighborhood of about 6,200, 6,300. So we're pushing record numbers for our conference. And again, it's going to be an absolutely amazing time. For those who are interested in participating or learning more, you can go to g3min.org. That's G3MIN, like Mary Indigo Nancy, g3min.org to learn more.
And don't forget, when you register, use promo code G3ISIR. That is the promo code for Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio. And you will get 30% off the registration fee by using that promo code. That's G3ISIR, standing for Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio. G3ISIR. I hope that as many of you who listen to this program will attend, will visit me at my exhibitor booth. And G3 has always been a wonderful time for me, not only to reunite with old friends, but to make new acquaintances. And some of those new acquaintances have become lasting friendships, even new sponsors of my program, new guests on my program. It is always just such a worthwhile experience for me to be manning an exhibitor's booth there. I always have a blast, and I'm always disappointed the day that it's over. And I don't see all of those 30 people on your website yet, but
right,
everybody who's on your website, I have interviewed all of them at some point or another, with the exception of James Coates, and I'm looking forward to getting him on the program if I ever have that opportunity. I did interview James Coates's attorney when he was still in jail. In fact, it was the day he was being released for not shutting down his church when the Canadian government was enforcing that mandate upon worship services. And I was also very delighted that G3 Press had been so generous to donate a copy of James Coates's book to every man that attended my recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon. And that was a rich blessing. I thank you and everyone at G3 Press, and Scott Annual was the specific brother who put that into action and got me those books. So I just I got a big place in my heart for G3. That's obvious.
Well, we're happy to do it. And the whole goal of G3 is for the whole purpose of educating and encouraging and equipping the body of Christ with sound biblical doctrine. So I know our executive vice president, editor-in-chief, Scott Annual, was excited to have the opportunity to serve in that way. I remember when the request came and he was in his office and wanted to participate in that way. And so we were grateful to do so.
And that book, by the way, is Preaching and Hearing God's Word by James Coates. Well, as I said before, today's conversation involves a very controversial issue. Now, it has occurred to me, I've been a Reformed Baptist as long as I have been saved. Well, perhaps 2 months or so after I was saved. By the grace and mercy of Christ, I came to embrace the doctrines of sovereign grace. Thankfully, I was saved in a Reformed Baptist church. I didn't have to go through years of hearing a false gospel, or other than the fact that I was raised Roman Catholic, of course. But I mean, during my years as an evangelical, I didn't have to be deprogrammed from a lot of stuff. God was very kind to me in his providence that I was saved in a confessional Reformed Baptist church. And it has occurred to me that within the last 5 years, and keep in mind, that was about the mid-1980s when I was saved. Over the last 5 years, it's been amazing how many issues have arisen amongst Reformed people, and specifically even Reformed Baptists, that have caused a lot of infighting and splits and heated argument and unfortunately ad hominem and mockery coming from all sides of every issue that rises up. And I've never seen anything like this amongst the formerly fairly close-knit circles of confessional Reformed Baptists before. That we've always had division of some degree, but one issue and after another over the past 5 years, I mean, friendships have been destroyed over some of these divisions. And it boggles my mind why some of these issues would end friendships. But we are talking about another one of those issues that has raised the ire of a lot of folks on all sides. Christian nationalism. Now, usually when I'm doing a program and we're addressing a specific theme like that, I would say, please give us a working definition of Christian nationalism. But unfortunately, you can't just cite one working definition of that. That's one of the reasons we're doing the program today, is because there seems to be a broad spectrum of professed adherents of Christian nationalism that don't even agree with each other on a working definition. So perhaps give us what you can from your knowledge of this phenomenon, at least a bare minimum of things that are typically found in a list of descriptions of an ideology known as Christian nationalism.
I'd be happy to. I want to go back to something that you mentioned earlier, which is the tendency and the natural inclination for divisions to arise among those who are indeed believers. And I think that has been historically true. I mean, you know, even as far back as you know, my evangelical experience with the emergent church, right? You had these young hip progressives who started out with rather sound kind of biblical doctrine and theology, wanting to get away from more formalized expressions of church worship and the like, and kind of pontificate, if you will, about doctrine, about what the Word of God said, and they for a time were a force. Those who leaned a little bit more leftward and were a little bit more progressive, and who wanted to kind of take a more of a postmodern approach to their understanding of theology would go that direction. And so there were good people who we knew that we would see that would take that shift. And then you had another group that kind of young, restless, reformed folks who were, trying to figure out how to kind of, they had previously experienced a more feminized form of evangelicalism, from the music to the preaching to the softening of every aspect of church experience. And their thought was, I want a muscular kind of robust approach to Christianity. And so they would follow people like Mark Driscoll and Mars Hill and some of those guys into that direction. And then as things began to kind of teeter off, you began to see a division there, even with Mark Driscoll and others who kind of got sideways with people like John MacArthur. And so you would see that kind of expression, things separate, and then ultimately where things would land. As I witness this next movement, while I make a comparison only to say that groups like that who start out with great relationships with one another and have the tendency to break off often do so as a result of a reaction to what they're seeing in current culture. And just like the two previous movements that I mentioned, I don't believe that this current quote unquote movement is any different in that. I think many of them have just witnessed the rise of drag queen story hour, right? They've witnessed the rise of the LGBTQ movement in culture. They've witnessed the rise of wokeism. And as they've witnessed that and seen that, they're trying to figure out how do we move forward? And so their thought is, there must be something missing in the church that is allowing that to take place, and we must do something to move forward.
By the way, I just want to divert from our subject temporarily. I just heard from a very credible source while this program has been on the air that someone who I highly revered, who I have had on this program at least twice, who has written a glowing, wonderful commendation for Iron Trip and Zion Radio that I will treasure forever. Dr. Harry L. Reeder was killed in an automobile accident and pronounced dead on the scene. Very tragic news, and we will be providing you with more details on future Iron Trip and Zion Radio broadcasts, and we will certainly be having, God willing, a tribute program to him, since he had such a significant role in the body of Christ as being a powerful, unwavering voice for truth. Yeah. And Harry Reeder, who was the senior pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Yeah. I last interviewed him on August 22nd of 2022. On the authority and trustworthiness of Scripture. And he will certainly be missed. And as I said, we'll keep you folks updated and let you know when we will be airing a tribute program to him. And and I ask of you all to pray for the Reeder family and for that fine congregation, Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama, mm-hmm. as they have lost a giant whose shoes will never be able to be quite sufficiently filled, as most giants of the church seem to be irreplaceable.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that he is in a far better place now, and that's just not a rote placard, as people will say very often about the lost who die. He or she is in a much better place. Well, we know that Dr. Harry L. Reeder certainly is in a much better place.
Yeah.
I'm going to give our listeners our email address if you have a question on Christian nationalism. I would love it if those who are on both sides of this issue were to write in questions. Please don't write in speeches. I won't read speeches, but send in questions, whether you affirm Christian nationalism, at least a brand of it, a specific brand of it, or if you are radically opposed to it, or if you just don't know. Like many people, I have been seeing over and over again people who are widely known and highly respected pastors, theologians, scholars, seminary professors, authors, and so on. When it comes to the subject, they are at a loss to be too definitive about it because of the fact that there are different voices within the umbrella of that title, Christian nationalism. And so therefore, there are many people who I know and love and respect who will tell you they don't know if they're a Christian nationalist or not. As Voddie Baucham said in one of his recent messages at a conference that Founders Ministries orchestrated, Voddie Baucham said, well, if you ask me if I'm a Christian nationalist, my answer will depend on who you are and why you are asking me that. So that may be the case with you. Mm-hmm. I am at a great loss. I'm interviewing a guest today that is a lot more knowledgeable on the spectrum of beliefs on this issue than I am. There are things about what I have heard that sound very appealing, and there are other things that make me very nervous, depending upon who is voicing their opinion about it. But our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state and country of residence. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are a Christian nationalist. You're in a church that is opposed to that ideology, or vice versa. And you'd rather not identify yourself at this point in time. I understand things like that. But if it's a general question, please give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Well, before we go to the first commercial break, Virgil, if you could give us some kind of a definition that most, if not all, of the adherents of what is called Christian nationalism agree upon in regard to their worldview and their theology and their eschatology and so on.
Yeah, I think in short, it's difficult to do that primarily because there is no one definition. There are multifaceted definitions. I think there are people who are trying to wrestle with the ideas and issues. And I know you're heading into break. I said this in my article. I said if by Christian nationalism, what is meant is an active form of patriotism where borders are protected, national sovereignty is enforced, and society moves back toward a Judeo-Christian ethic, then you could call me a Christian nationalist. However, I think it's important to think through what those two words mean, the words Christian and nationalist. And when we come back, we can talk about that. I'll also, by way of directly answering your question, give you the definition as written by Stephen Wolfe. Stephen Wolfe's a writer of a very voluminous work, 490 pages, in his book, A Case for Christian Nationalism. He writes this, quote, "My definition of Christian nationalism is a Christianized form of nationalism, or put differently, a species of nationalism. This, thus, I treat nationalism as a genus, meaning that all that is essential to generic nationalism is true of Christian nationalism," end quote. And so there you have Stephen Wolfe's definition of Christian nationalism. The reason I mention him is because within theological circles, his work is the work that most are interacting with because it is a published work. Within evangelicalism, there are a myriad of different ideas around that, and people are every day kind of forming their ideas, shaping their ideas, and trying to put forth statements to land the plane on what they believe, why they believe it, and the like. And so that'll provide a framework for our conversation. Like, when we get back, I would love to talk through the two words that are trying to be blended together, Christian and nationalism. We can unpack that on the other side.
And since you mentioned Steve Wolf, I just want to quickly say that there are those who have a high regard for some of the voices within Christian nationalism and are contemplating the adoption of that ideology for themselves, who are very opposed, at least in certain cases, with Stephen Wolf's book.
Absolutely.
So I just don't want anybody to think that he is a monolithic voice for Christian nationalism. And perhaps one day he will come on the program to give a rebuttal to this, or we can have perhaps a debate or
sure.
something like that.
Yeah.
But we are going to our first break. The email address for your questions, again, is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Virgil Walker of G3 Ministries right after these messages.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Hey everybody, this is Pete Hegseth, New York Times best-selling author and Fox and Friends weekend co-host. And I'm so excited because I'll be coming to Our Savior New American School in Center Reach, New York on Saturday, May 20th for their annual evening banquet. Now, by coming to this banquet, you're going to gain insight into how American education has lost its way. We know it has. And how the rediscovery of classical Christian schools has provided families with a healthy alternative that is rooted in Christ, wisdom, virtue, and the classics. Remember those? Look up Our Savior New American School online to sign up for this banquet while seats last. See you there.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio an amazing, mind-blowing offer. Anyone in the audience of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio who purchases jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com valued at $100 or more will guarantee that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio will receive 100% of the profits from that sale if you mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whether it be a piece of jewelry they already have in stock, or if you're having a custom designed piece of jewelry like an engagement ring, like turning your church logo, parachurch ministry logo, seminary logo, or denomination logo into a piece of jewelry like a pendant for a necklace or a ring, or any other kind of jewelry that you can conjure up with your imagination and creativity in your mind, they will take what's ever in your brain and turn it into a physical piece of jewelry that will absolutely blow your mind. And I've seen firsthand the work they do. They have an absolute mastery over custom designing jewelry, and you will not regret making that move if you are indeed considering purchasing a piece of jewelry for yourself or someone that you love. And if that is the case, please go to royaldiadem.com soon, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this wonderful opportunity where we get 100% of the profits from any sale to our audience. So please go to royaldiadem.com, royaldiadem.com, and either purchase something they have in stock or get the ball rolling on a custom-designed piece of jewelry so you'll have it in time before Christmas. And please mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so we get 100% of the profits. We're now back with Virgil Walker. He is the executive director of operations with G3 Ministries, and we are talking about a very controversial theme, Christian nationalism. And pick up where you left off, Virgil. You were going to get more involved in a description of what we are talking about today.
Yeah. I initially kind of led with the definition given by Stephen Wolfe. His book, A Case for Christian Nationalism, has really become kind of the gold standard for the theological facet of Christian nationalism. And again, that's solely because he's written a 490-page volume about the topic and subject. So it's with that printed material, that printed work, that I and others here at G3 have interacted with. While, again, you mentioned it as we took to break, Stephen Wolfe is not the standard bearer in that he is emblematic, the example of all of quote unquote Christian nationalism. But because of the fact that he does have a published work on the subject matter, we took that seriously and reviewed it. There are other published pieces, but the work that kind of lands into our lane of Christianity and the like would be Wolfe's book, and so that's what we dealt with. I will say this: there are versions of this that differ, and you could even categorize some of the ideas around it. You've got everything from what we would call maybe a conservative patriotism, right? Those who are conservative patriots, to those who are maybe conservative and political with their patriotism, those who are quote unquote Christian nationalists. And then there are brothers who are more theonomist and post mill and their eschatology and the like, who hold to kind of what's being called mere Christendom. And so there's a wide variety, a wide range of people that we're dealing with, more of the folks who are more Trumpian and where you get a lot of the Trump ideas and that kind of thing. Those folks are kind of General Flynn followers and the like, and they're more charismatic. And they're large numbers. They're the ones who are showing up at rallies and are trying to push Trump across the victory line. And again, not to say anything negative about Trump or positive about Trump or affirming in any way, just trying to lay out the landscape of what is of this broad idea known as Christian nationalism. But before folks like you and me, who are in very serious circles, Reformed Baptist circles particularly, I think it's important for us to step back and look at what this actually is. And I think you have to begin at the beginning. If you remember, Chris, when we started looking at woke church, things like Woke Church from Eric Mason, and we looked at the social justice movement as it began to enter evangelical circles, and we began to look at CRT, critical race theory, and we actually walked backwards to say, where are these ideas coming from? We know that there's nothing new under the sun. So it's important that we go back and see where these ideas germinated from. And when we did, we walked all the way back to Karl Marx and the Marxist ideas that began what we know as critical theory. And so out of critical theory comes critical race theory. Out of that, we get intersectionality. Out of that, we get the movement for social justice. Out of that, we get cries for justice within a particular racial ethnic group, right? Black lives then matter, right? And so, unfortunately, I think what's happened in evangelical circles is we followed movements, adopted their ideas, branded ourselves with them, only later to find out it probably wasn't the wisest thing in the world to begin parroting things like Black Lives Matter without going back and doing kind of a historical dive into where is this stuff coming from, only later to have the ladies who started the Black Lives Matter movement admit that they had been trained Marxists. And so then we had to go back and say, okay, what does that mean? In the same way, I think it's important before we adopt quote unquote Christian nationalism to go back and understand what is nationalism. And so I wanted us to do that. I wanted to go back and do that. So I wrote a piece about this subject matter. You can find it at g3men.org. And the title of the article is "The Dangerous Intersection of Christian Nationalism and Ethnocentrism." Now, folks have kind of given me flack for using the term ethnocentrism. Some believe that I think that ethnocentrism is equivalent to racism. I want to categorically say that that is not true at all. Ethnocentrism is a central focus on an ethnic group. There's nothing inherently sinful about focusing on a particular ethnic group, but there can be something sinful about focusing on a particular ethnic group. So I think we need to pause and talk about that. That's as it relates to the actual title of the article. As it pertains to nationalism, nationalism for the most part is defined in this way. And again, just defining our terms, nationalism is an ideology that emphasizes loyalty, devotion, or allegiance to a nation or nation state, and holds that such obligations outweigh other individual interests. So in other words, when you think about nationalism in and of itself considers a nation an entity of itself with values, ideas, and interests that actually supersede those of an individual group. That's important to note. And the reason why that's important to note as it pertains to the word nationalism is this. We live in a democratic republic. And one of the things that the founders embedded into our Constitution is the idea of individual rights, and that individuals are innately endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But what nationalism does is nationalism says, apart from your individual rights, the nation has a say in how those rights, if you have individual rights, and your rights, as individualistic as they may be, do not supersede the rights of a nation. Now, in most instances, if your values align with the nation's values, this is not problematic. However, if your ideas get out of step with what the nation says is right, just, and true, then you run into great problems and traumatic error. Most people have never, or a lot of people, I should say, a number of people have never really studied what's taken place in Europe and the different nationalistic movements and what's known as the Volkgeist, the V-O-L-K Geist. Right. This is the ethnic nationalism that permeated Germany right before World War II. And it actually laid the groundwork for what would follow next as a result of ethnic nationalism. The ethnic nationalism in Germany made it very easy for that nation to feel like anyone that did not identify either ethnically or nationally with ethnic Germany, they were to be othered. They were to be outside. They were outsiders. They were castaways, and things could be done differently to them than were other people that were a part of the ethnic German nationalist movement there. So it's with those ideas in mind that we've got to ask the question: if we add the word Christian to the word nationalism, is nationalism bettered by it? Is it made better? In other words, when I think about what's been done with the word socialism, right? We have AOC who's used the term democratic socialism as if the democratic word attached to socialism actually makes the socialism any better. We've got to ask the same question as Christians. Does adding the word Christian to the word nationalism better nationalism? Now, I don't believe the vast majority of people out there who are watching our society and its ethics crumble to the ground are thinking in these terms. I really believe that for the most part, the average Joe person every day is saying, hey, if being a Christian nationalist means I'm fighting against this woke culture that tells me that a man is a woman and a woman is a man, or that tells me that I've got to cut off my kids' body parts in order to affirm the identity of their choosing at the beginning or end of the day, then I'm for Christian nationalism. And before we pragmatically adopt that idea, it's imperative that we push the brakes and pause and ask some very important questions about what we're adopting as a name. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, it makes perfect sense. And let me just quickly insert here something that might be on the minds of listeners who find the idea of Christian nationalism very appealing, if they're not already robust defenders of this concept and who wear that identity very proudly. Every Christian, to my knowledge, when we go to ballot boxes and we vote, we would love to see in that voting booth options that were men of God, that we had confidence that they were truly regenerate, that they shared the core essentials of our biblical theology. And we would think that that would be a gift from God. Yeah. No matter what office we are voting for, from the lowliest of local offices to the President of the United States.
Yeah.
And wouldn't it be amazing and wonderful if God sent a blessing to this country where the President of the United States was a genuine born-again Christian, and most of the governors and mayors and senators and congressmen were born-again people. And we were governing this nation according to God's law and God's will. And to put in the caveat here, and I'm not speaking of an ecclesiocracy where a specific denomination has rule, where we see what tragically happened in our past when Paedo Baptists martyred Anabaptists and Baptists, martyred them very often with gruesome and torturous deaths. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where a recognition that God's law and will are the best, and we should have a nation governed by those principles. So just respond to that, because I'm assuming that that would be on the mind of anyone who is looking favorably upon Christian nationalism.
No, I would say yes and amen to all of that, Chris. I've co-authored a book about that called Just Thinking About the State, where as a result of the book, I'm informing true believers not to leave their Bible at the church or at home when they go to the voting booth. I'm telling believers in Christ that their decisions about their government and the choices that they make would be informed by having a robust biblical worldview. And so, as you well know, I've been very active in speaking out about issues like abortion, speaking against abortion, about providing, making sure that the civil magistrate put laws into place that protect the life of the unborn, that they would enjoy equal protection as those who are living outside of the womb, as those who live inside the womb. And so I am for all of those things, yet and still, I don't have to call myself a Christian nationalist in order to engage in that behavior. I'm just being a faithful believer in Christ, living out what God says in his word about how I should engage the culture as a result of a life as a believer. I think the difference is this, Chris. I think there's a difference between a believer in Christ who comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Their heart has been transformed by the power of the gospel. They have made a decision to live their lives in a way that honors God, and they decide to live in every sphere of life in that way, informed by that worldview. I think there's a difference between that person and someone who says, I am in favor of not an inward out, not a transformed heart in and an outward working, but someone who says, I want government to produce the conditions to enforce that kind of behavior throughout the nation. And here's what I mean. So let me put some meat on the bones of this. I mentioned Stephen Wolfe's book earlier. It's called A Case for Christian Nationalism.
In fact, could you pick up right when we return from our midway break?
Yeah.
Please be patient with us, folks. The midway break is always a bit longer than the other breaks because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, is required by the FCC to localize this program geographically to Lake City, Florida, with their own public service announcements and other local announcements, while we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely and write down as many or as much of the contact information for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize our advertisers, or at the very least, simply thank our advertisers for sponsoring the show. If indeed you love the show and are grateful that there are men, women, churches, and organizations out there who want to share the wealth that God has blessed them with us. And if you are happy about that and grateful about that, please thank our advertisers because we would not exist without them. And send in your questions to Virgil Walker on Christian Nationalism to chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, The Sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnz and of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnz and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd. The G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the Sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Hey, everybody, this is Pete Hegseth, New York Times best-selling author and Fox and Friends weekend co-host, and I'm so excited because I'll be coming to Our Savior New American School in Center Reach, New York on Saturday, May 20th for their annual evening banquet. Now, by coming to this banquet, you're going to gain insight into how American education has lost its way. We know it has. And how the rediscovery of classical Christian schools has provided families with a healthy alternative that is rooted in Christ, wisdom, virtue, and the classics. Remember those? Look up Our Savior New American School online to sign up for this banquet while seats last. See you there.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Patafuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfuco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, please make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. They bring back into print and also publish for the very first time nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So go to solid-ground-books.com often, purchase generously, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They are a primary advertiser for this program. And aside from the kindness of God, I don't believe that we could continue to exist airing this program without their financial support. That's solid-ground-books.com. And remember, you're not only going to be doing them a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing us a favor by keeping one of our primary advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone from whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value. That's solid-ground-books.com. Visit that site today. Before I return to my guest today, Virgil Walker of G3 Ministries, we have some important announcements to make. Folks, if you really love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way, well, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or perhaps it's just a special event that you want to promote. Well, whatever the case may be, as long as whatever it is you want to advertise is compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. ironsharpensironradio.com, and then click to donate now. Also, remember, folks, I never want anybody in the audience giving their own church, where you are a member, less money than you're accustomed to giving your church on the Lord's Day in order to give a gift to Iron Sharpens Zion Radio. In other words, don't cut into your Lord's Day giving to your own church to share some of that money with us. Please don't do that. And also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you are back on your feet and more stable financially before you send us a gift. The Bible is very clear that our finances are primarily to be used to support our church and our family, and supporting Iron Trip and Zion Radio is not a command of God. But if you love the show, you don't want it to disappear, you've got extra money collecting interest in the bank, you've got extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and family, well, please share some of that money with us if you do love the show. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally sound, theologically solid church, like Praise Mill Baptist Church of Douglasville, Georgia, well, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I may be able to help you find a church near you, just as I have done with many people in our audience all over the planet Earth. Just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Virgil Walker on Christian nationalism. And that's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state and country of residence. Before I go to any of our listener questions, Virgil, I would like for you to continue the thread that you began before we went to the midway break.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just sharing with, based upon your question, you know, should Christians be informed as they enter the polling booth, as they think about their governing leaders, as they think about the civil magistrate? Wouldn't they want that person to uphold biblical ideas and biblical standards? And I just made the case that, you know, I've written a book about that. I've co-authored a book with Daryl Harrison about that called Just Thinking About the State. So absolutely, yes and amen. Christians should be fully informed by holding a biblical worldview, not leaving that at the church door or at their home. You know, leaving their Bible at home before entering the polling booth. No, absolutely not. We should all of our biblical worldview, our biblical worldview rather, should inform every decision that we make as it relates to governance. With that said, I think there's a difference between a Christian transformed by the power of God, heart desires to follow Him, who's living out that biblical worldview, that gospel-centered focus in home life and family life, that they're a part of a local church and that they're living that out in every sphere. There's a difference between that, which I would call bottom-up, right? A transformed heart informing a life that's transformed by family, informing a life that's transformed by a local church, impacting the public square. I think there's a difference between that and governance from the top down. Someone who's saying that we want to have a nation establish itself as Christian, and thereby from a federal standpoint, push the ideas of Christianity throughout the country, regardless of others' beliefs. Now, again, that sounds very dramatic, very almost like hyperbole. Nobody's going to force people to be Christian in a Christian nation, and perhaps that may well be true. But as I look at Stephen Wolfe's project as it relates to Christian nationalism, he says this in his book. He says this, quote, "The question is whether a Christian magistrate having civil rule or civil of civil society, having civil rule over a civil society of Christians, may punish civil power, false teachers, heretics, blasphemers, and idolaters for external expressions of such things in order to prevent, one, any injury to the souls of the people of God. Two, the subversion of Christian government, Christian culture, or spiritual discipline. And three, civil disruption or unrest." Wolfe says this, "Modern religious liberty advocates deny this, and I, Wolfe, that is, affirm it." And so what he's affirming here is that the civil magistrate would determine who false teachers are, who heretics are, who blasphemers are, and punish them using civil power, that they would determine what is a quote-unquote injury to the souls of the people of God, end quote, and they would punish that person with the use of government and civil magistrates' power. The question then becomes this, if that's what we're advocating for in a Christian nation. The question is, who gets to define who is or is not a false teacher or a heretic or a blasphemer? There are some in my circles, I would say those who promote the prosperity gospel, that they're heretics. Well, if my brand of Christian nationalism is in play, does that mean that that we could perhaps put in jail Creflo Dollar, that we would put in jail Benny Hinn, that we would put in jail, that we would impose the civil government, the civil magistrate, to do something from a standpoint of exerting civil power to punish these people who are promoting different ideas? The question then must be asked, will the Baptists decide this? Will the Presbyterians decide this? And then what do you do in a society like ours with people who are Mormons or Catholics or Muslims? How do you respond to them in a Christian nation? And if we determine that Christianity is now a state religion, how will others, Muslims per se, express their version of faith? Now, while Wolfe's book admits that they can hold these ideas, they can hold the ideas of, that are contrary to a biblical worldview, they cannot express those in any kind of public way. So religious liberty would absolutely be abandoned. And we would have to really take a closer look at the First Amendment and talk about government imposed nationalism, which tells us that the nation has its own church and that we are to operate from that framework. So that's kind of how that all plays itself out. Those are questions. And again, there are some who call themselves Christian nationalists who have worked that out, and there are others who have not worked those issues out. And I think it bears, while there are those who are excited about Christian nationalism and say, oh, Virgil, that's just hyperbole. Nobody is going to do that. Nobody's going to punish in that way. Nobody's going to operate in that way. You're mistaken. All I'm doing is reading the words of Stephen Wolfe, who has presented his case for Christian nationalism. And I'm simply asking questions about these things. And I think to ask the question is fair. I think it's fair. I think it's fair for us to put the brakes on, and before we eradicate aspects of the Constitution, of amendments and such, that we push the pause button and ask some honest questions that cause us to think through these issues. We don't have to separate as brothers to do this. We don't have to, you're on the wrong side of history. We don't have to, engage in the kind of rhetoric that causes great division. I think we can amicably, honestly ask and answer these questions and think through whether or not we want to embrace these ideas.
Yes, what Stephen Wolfe said, I don't know if he would agree with what I'm about to say, but it just sounds too close to what I mentioned earlier, ecclesiocracy, as opposed to a theocracy, where you're taking the specific doctrines of a specific denomination, and if they were to rule a nation, you know, you might have people, once again, like Baptists, facing very severe persecution, as we have suffered in the past, not only from Roman Catholic, but primarily from fellow Protestants.
Right.
And there have been really gruesome and nightmarish descriptions of how Anabaptists and Baptists have been treated by brothers in Christ who shared the same gospel with these with these men, just because of a difference of opinion on the ecclesiastical matters, and especially on the issue of infant baptism, a rejection of infant baptism by these Anabaptists and Baptists. But we do have a couple of listeners who want to have your want to have you answer their questions. We have Grady, wonderful brother in Christ, who is an avid listener to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and a generous supporter of the program, who I met for the first time face-to-face at a G3 conference years ago. Greetings, brothers. Virgil, I heard our brother Vody Balcom on the Sword and Trowel podcast say that we need to put the word white before Christian nationalism because the CRT woke Marxist movement is using this word to shut out white people and Christians from having a voice in our country.
Yeah, I appreciate the question. I think that what's happening, I think what Vody was referring to is as you look back on this movement, you know, the first kind of rumblings of it were around 2017, 2018, and Christian nationalism was a pejorative. It was aimed to shut down dialogue, and what was really meant by the use of the word Christian nationalism in 2017, 2018 was quote unquote white Christian nationalism. Now, there is a version of Christian nationalism that is very ethnocentric. I would even go so far as to say it is indeed racist. And its aim is to advance the cause of the white man. And they make no bones about that. Truth be told, I appreciate the honesty of those who hold that view. I'd prefer them come flat out and say, I'm a white Christian nationalist, then cloud the idea in quote unquote Christian nationalism and still hold to those same ideas. That said, I think what Vody was particularly in that instance referring to is that most of the media, the news media, right, were using Christian nationalism. And what they really meant to say was white Christian nationalism. And all of that was just in an effort to shut down dialogue. And what has happened since then, in the advent of George Floyd, after wokeism has taken on such a big part of culture, is this response by those who are Christian who are saying, if you're gonna say that I'm a white Christian nationalist, or you're gonna use the term Christian nationalist as a pejorative, I'm gonna wear it as a badge of honor, and I'm gonna use it for my own purposes. I think that's a mistaken idea. I think that is problematic on numerous fronts. But regardless of what I think, those who are even in evangelical circles, those who are in conservative Christian circles, are saying, "I'm gonna take the term that they meant to be bad. I'm gonna take it, dust it off, and wear it." And my response to that would simply be, "Let's pause before we cape up with a label." And think through what we're actually putting on and wearing. Again, those who embraced the social justice movement were Christians who thought, you know, I'm for justice, so why wouldn't I be for social justice? Or I'm for the fact that lives matter, so why wouldn't Black lives matter? And what they began to find is as they began to embrace these ideas given to them by the culture, they had problems associated with them. My argument is that this Christian nationalism, while on one end sounds right, I who doesn't like to be Christian? On the other end, hey, if by nationalist you mean I think that America is the greatest country that God ever created, then call me a Christian nationalist. But we've got to pause and find out, do a deeper dive, and ask the question: what is actually being meant by nationalism? What has it meant historically? And should we, should this be a moniker that we embrace just in an effort to irritate folks that are on the left?
Well, thank you, Grady, and keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and spreading the word about the program there in Asheboro, North Carolina, and beyond. Look forward to seeing you at the G3 conference in September. We have Johnny from Queens, New York. Virgil, if the condition to enforce the law of God as normative cultural ethic, as commanded by Christ, is fulfilled by regenerated biblical Christians, civil magistrates, and not by an unbelieving government, would that be biblically reasonable? And he quotes, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age," from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20.
Yeah. No, I think that's a fair question. I'd have no problem with that as a secondary outgrowth of what's taking place in the hearts of believers. And so our first and primary responsibility is to go, therefore, into the world, right, preaching the gospel, proclaiming the truth of God, baptizing men in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey the commandments, right? And Christ commands that he would be with us always, even to the end of the age. So I'd have no problem with our primary focus being one of evangelism. And as a result of that, seeing transformed hearts and lives. And as a result of that, seeing those who have those transformed heart and lives desire to function in every facet of government and the like. I would absolutely applaud that, cheer that on before that. That's exactly what I endeavor to do on a day-to-day basis. And whenever government gets outside the bounds of what's right, moral, good, holy, I think the church and those of us who are believers have a responsibility to have a prophetic voice and to declare that truth to the state, to government. What I'm not in favor of is the idea that our primary mission as believers is to ensure that we have a quote unquote Christian nation from the top down. That's what I don't advocate.
So then, judging from what you said, if you were to observe some country in Europe, they elect a leader or leaders that are Bible-believing Christians, from everything that you can see and hear, you have confidence these are actually regenerate people who are faithfully following the word of Christ. And they publicly pronounce that they are now a Christian nation. And you see, as time progresses, that they're actually living that out truthfully. They are not persecuting people of other ecclesiastical groups than the one they personally possess. In fact, perhaps the leadership is comprised of people from Baptist and Presbyterian and Anglican and Lutheran groups or what have you. You would be not crying out for the dismantling of this nation as it existed as a Christian nation, would you?
If by Christian nation, what they intended was something in addition to the system and structure we have in place now, where there's sphere sovereignty, where the state is not attempting to come into the realm of the church. And now as a quote unquote Christian nation, tell the church that we have a crisis called COVID, and as a result, we are indeed a Christian nation. And as a Christian ruler who loves Christ, I'm telling the church that the church must now do close its doors, and we do that in the name of our Christian nation. I think we have problems. So I want to always pump the brakes when we desire the idea rather than the reality. In other words, many times we want to hear someone say, "I'm a quote unquote Christian nation." You mentioned Vodi earlier. Vodi talked about where he is in Africa, and that the nation that he's in on their constitution. They have the fact that they are a Christian nation. It's stated, it's clear, it's titled, everyone knows it, and that most of the people in the country would much rather have the practical implications of that Christianity permeated throughout their culture, more so than just the title on a constitutional framework. And I agree with him. I'm more concerned that each and every individual lives out a life that is reflective of the gospel of Christ permeating their heart, that they invest in laws within the sphere of their sovereignty, that honor God, that point to God, that enable us to have freedom of speech. I'm more concerned with that from a standpoint of its practice than I am concerned that on some billboard somewhere, or on some document somewhere, we just watched the coronation of the King of England, right? If you watch the coronation, there were the church and the state were combined. The king is a Christian king, and he's got all the vestments of that. And so we can get caught up in titles, names, and imagery. What's more important is the true conversion of the heart, and that it has impact on culture from the inside out.
Yeah, in fact, that is a glowing example that if a nation were to become identified as a Christian nation, there's going to be no guarantee that the progeny of those in leadership of this Christian nation, those that are elected into the office in the future, are going to be regenerate. And even if they carry on in perpetuity until Christ returns, the identity of a Christian nation like England today, it's a farce, because even when you had, from what I have heard from people who know better than I do, especially those who are from the UK, the people that I know and respect who knew anything about Queen Elizabeth were very confident, if not certain, that she was a genuine born again Bible believing woman, even though she was the queen. You have England being a theological sewer. I mean, you have mosques rising up at a far greater speed and frequency than Christian churches. And you have Christian churches being used by Muslims. And you have sodomy and all of the most scandalous and damnable evils of prohibited by the scripture reigning over there. So, I mean, the fact that they would call themselves a Christian nation and go through the pomp and ceremony of it is really meaningless today in the 21st century.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's something that we need to stop and think about. I get the idea of wanting the reactionary response to wokeism being codified into law. I get that. I totally get that. Our natural response is to push back and say, well, if they can do that, then we can do this. I totally get and understand that. But we have a kingdom, which is Christ, and we have a responsibility to represent it. And the way that we do is through gospel proclamation, inside out, bottom up, rather than this dictatorial top down imposing of the idea of Christian nationalism or the idea of a Christian nation in name and title. For what purpose and ends, you know, I don't know. Again, there are great thinkers who have thought through these issues. My goal is not to simply say, you know, that there's not a place for those who want to embrace Christian nationalism, that there's no place for them in the body of Christ. That's not the point I'm making. I'm simply saying that before we all cape up and embrace this idea as our primary effort, energy, and goal, that we pump the brakes, take some time, examine definitions, and look to see if, biblically speaking, there's an example in Scripture that we can point to that shows us that our primary objective is to create a Christian nation.
I'm going to read a listener question and have you answer it when we return from our final break. It's amazing how fast the time has gone. I think this may demand a part two. I don't know if you agree with me, but I would love to have you back. We have Cindy in Findlay, Ohio. Good evening, Virgil and Chris. I am not well-versed in Christian nationalism or theonomy, but from what little I know, it seems as though theonomists would be the most avid proponents of Christian nationalism. How far off am I? Did you hear that, Virgil?
I did. I didn't know if you wanted me to answer that after the break.
Oh, that's right. I am 61, and I am forgetting what I just said seconds ago. We'll be right back with your answer to that right after these messages. So don't go away, folks.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I've been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Lord.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Welcome back. And folks, I want to remind you that one of our advertisers, whom you hear every day, Historical Bible Society, I obviously want you to take advantage of that ministry whenever possible to invite Dan Buttafuoco, the founder of the Historical Bible Society, to your church, your school, or other organization to put on his display of rare and valuable Bibles and books of antiquity, where he describes in detail how the church received the scriptures from the original languages into the native tongue of countries all over the globe. Very fascinating presentation. I've seen many times, and I'm never bored of it. But don't forget that he is also a personal injury attorney and medical malpractice attorney. So anywhere in the United States, if you know of somebody in all 50 states of America who has suffered from a serious injury or a medical malpractice injury or illness, please contact Dan Buttafuoco at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or go to his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. And he has awarded victims some of the highest awards that the nation has seen, who have been true victims of personal accident, injury, and medical malpractice cases. So you are definitely in good hands, and he loves this program so much that he chooses to use some of his hard-earned money to bless this program, to keep it in existence. So go to 1-800-NOW-HURT.com or call them at 1-800-NOW-HURT. And I also want to remind our listeners that the weekend before the G3 conference, conference, the Sovereignty of God in Atlanta, Georgia, will be September 21st through the 23rd. But the weekend before that, which is September 15th, 16th, and 17th, Dr. James R. White, who will also be at the G3 conference on the speaking roster, he will be conducting a conference that I have orchestrated with my friends at the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society. So put those dates down on your calendar, September 15th, 16th, and 17th. All we know right now is that the conference will likely be held in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We're working on a debate with an advocate of wokeism. We don't know for certain if that will happen, but we will keep you updated on the theme and location of this conference with Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, September 15th, 16th, and 17th in Pennsylvania. Please mark your calendars. We're now back with Virgil Walker, and Virgil, let me reread the question that our listener asked, Cindy in Findlay, Ohio. She says, it seems as though theonomists would be the most avid proponents of Christian nationalism. How far off am I?
I think she's right. I'll say this. Right now, as it pertains to the Christian nationalist movement, those who are embracing the ideas of Christian nationalism, most of them are theonomists. But at the same time, there are those who are theonomists who don't embrace that moniker and would much rather stand firm with their theological convictions about the matter. And so you have Doug Wilson, for example, who's written a book called Mere Christendom. And in the book, he walks through, his theological framework, which he's, it's a lane. It's an idea that he's stood on for decades. Right. So while Christian nationalism is a new iteration of this idea, theonomy is not. Theonomy has been around for a long time. And I think those who really want to embrace it from a theological standpoint do so and have done so well. It's just been in this last, 3 to 5 years. And I primarily attribute the Christian nationalism movement to a reaction, to wokeism, and rightfully so in many instances. But it's more of a reactionary movement, in my estimation, rather than one that has had a long, you know, history of convictions based upon scripture and the like. So I would differentiate, you know, some of my brothers, you know, the guys who the Jeff Durbins of the world, the guys who the chocolate Knoxes of the world, our dear friends in Moscow. Some of those guys are theonomists, have been post-mill, and their eschatology for decades have been advancing their cause in such ways. Those who are embracing Christian nationalism are looking for more of a top-down governmental approach to what they're trying to advance. And so that's where I think even those on the side of theonomy would differ on that one point.
Well, it's interesting. I've had Doug Wilson on my show, and he has shocked many in my audience because he denies being a theonomist. I think it may be a matter of semantics with him. Then sometimes he will also say that he says a Westminster theonomist or something like that, a Westminster Confession theonomist. But he does not want to identify himself with the broader movement of theonomy.
Sure.
But somebody who has recently become a theonomist, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, a mutual friend of ours, he is vociferously in disagreement with Stephen Wolfe's book. So he, whether or not he ever calls himself a Christian nationalist, he certainly is not identifying with that brand of it.
Yeah, there's some real problems with Stephen Wolfe's book, and I outlined those in greater detail in the article that I penned, which I would encourage many to go check out. It's on the G3 Ministries website, g3men.org. It's called The Dangerous Intersection of Christian Nationalism and Ethnocentrism. And so if you have time, go by g3men.org. Check out the blog. You could either type in Dangerous Intersection of Christian Nationalism or type in my name. And the article, I read it to a listener, or they can read it for themselves. So you can listen or read the article at your leisure.
We have an anonymous listener, the last one we have time for a question from. Anonymous listener says, I feel myself becoming more and more inclined to embracing a form of Christian nationalism. And I was just wondering what your thoughts are on this. The most impressive explanation to the situation at hand regarding Christian nationalism that I have heard is that everyone is a theological or religious nationalist, and your choice is boiling down to either being a Christian nationalist or letting the pagans run this world with their religion as much as they declare that they are not theonomists or believing in a theocracy. Those on the left do have a religion of their own in spite of what they call it. What is your opinion on that?
Sure. I think there are a lot of people who desire to attach themselves to movements like this and to connect with tribes. Everybody wants to be connected to something, and movements like this have great appeal. And so my movement is the movement of Christ. It's been his movement has not changed, has not shifted, doesn't need a new title. I'm a believer in Christ. The things that I stand for, I've been standing for, since I came into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'll stand for those things for a long time thereafter. I'm not concerned with what title you give me. I'm concerned about truth. I'm concerned about professing it, proclaiming it. And I think anyone who knows me or the ministries that I've been connected with, while I've never embraced a term like Christian nationalism, they would definitely recognize that I do stand for the cause and sacred Christ yesterday, today, and will continue to as long as the Lord gives me breath in my lungs. I'll vote in ways that honor God. I'll speak to civil magistrates in ways that proclaim the truths of God. I'll speak to political parties in the same way. I don't need to identify myself with an organization or a group of people who are still trying to figure out their own definitions. While they're doing that and trying to look for that and figure those pieces out, I'll continue doing what I've always done, which is stand for the cause and sake of Christ and proclaim the gospel.
Don't forget, folks, to register for the G3 conference coming up September 21st through the 23rd in Atlanta, Georgia. I will be there manning an exhibitors booth. There will be at least 30 speakers on the roster. Go to g3men.org, g3men.org. And please, when registering, use promo code G3ISIR, G3ISIR, which stands for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, G3ISIR. Thank you so much, Virgil, for doing such a superb job, as you always do.
Thank you, brother.
I want to thank all of our listeners, especially those who took the time to write. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.